go to Romans 4. Romans 4. Going to look at Abraham and look at a little progression of his life. How many of you know that the heroes of the faith, they didn't always start out amazingly heroic and mighty, but there was an evolution and a progression of development and growth, and such is the case with us. When we are born again, we couldn't be any more on our way to heaven than when we first bow our heart to the Lord. But then the development and the growth begins, and we learn of the Lord, we enter a sanctification process, we learn of His character, we learn of His ways. And so such was the case when God would deal with His servants in Scripture. He would begin the journey, and they would learn of Him along the way. And they would learn some through trial and error, but He would stay with them. Hopefully they would stay with Him. And so I'm going to talk a bit about faith and talking about weakened faith or strengthened faith. So in Romans 4, we're going to skip around here just a bit. Romans 4, verse 4. Now, when a man works, this is Paul writing to the church at Rome. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but what? But trust God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. And then we drop down into verse 13. It reads, it was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless. Then we drop down to verse 16. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. That is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Father, we just pray in the name of the Lord that you'd speak to us from your word. Lord, we ask you, change our hearts, strengthen, bolster, inspire, and motivate, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Very good. Well, a little progression here we see, and we're encouraged by the example of mighty Abraham. Again, he is the father of faith, and it's his example that we glean from and want to emulate. But it says here in verse 19, without weakening in his faith. Can we say that together? Without weakening in his faith. In verse 20, it says, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith. Can we say that? But was strengthened in his faith. So, without weakening in his faith and strengthened in his faith. Without weakening, yet was strengthened in his faith. So, in regards to faith, our faith, we can be weakened in regard to it, or we can be strengthened in regard to it. Just as we read here, there's the option to go backward or to go forward. Remember in Hebrews it says, we're not of those who shrink back, but of those who press forward in faith and are saved, you see. And so it can be weakened, it can be strengthened. So our faith, even though saving faith introduces us into our relationship with the Lord, but it's not something that we just put up on the shelf. We still want to be working on it, and we still want to be stretching it. We still want to be activating it. We don't want entropy to set in. Y'all have heard before the mantra, if you don't use it, you what? You lose it. If I were to tie my arm down for the whole year of 2016 and then come 2017, they untie it. First of all, the entropy would set in. It would shrivel a bit based on lack of use. So even though I know that many of y'all are huffing and puffing and sometimes you feel tired in life, but you know what? That's okay. Because the only other option would be possibly to be in a place of not being used or not being active, and that's certainly not good. There's no glory in burning out, but there's also no glory in a wrong kind of ease, as we talked about last week. And so it's not a given that our faith just automatically develops. We can be intentional with our faith, just like an athlete will go into the workout room and he'll say, I'm going to work on these sets of muscles today. For those that work out, you know it's every other day. You don't work on the same muscle 2 days in a row. But just like someone who's lifting weights said, I'm going to work on biceps and triceps today, maybe lower body tomorrow. But they would intentionally do things to get a cut and a burn in that muscle for the purpose of growth. And in the same way, our faith is like a muscle. It can be exercised in view of a greater growth. It can be weakened. It can be strengthened. So, how many of us would obviously opt for and vote for strengthening our faith? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. We're mindful of it. Now, Abraham, he was called in Genesis 12, and he did what God said to do when he came out from among his people and he began to follow the Lord and go to the city he knew not of, who had foundations, whose builder and architect was the Lord. But he started out a little wobbly. How many of y'all can identify with that? You ever felt a little wobbly? Like, dear Lord, is she breaking up? And so he was, you know, kind of like that little awkward chick getting up and trying to walk for the first time and just, you know, dorky legs. And so just a little bit wobbly. But as we progress chapter after chapter, we see something shifting in his walk of faith. It's interesting, though, in examining his life, is that what caused him to grow in strength in regard to his faith as we examine his journey? What were some of the ingredients that created the growth? What caused his faith to grow in strength? As we track his life and call, again, it starts in Genesis 12, and he's called in that chapter, but immediately we see him fearing for his own life as he's among the Egyptians. And he has this beautiful wife, and he's like, dear me, they're going to look at you, and they're going to want you, and they're going to kill me, you know, so we're going to have to fix this. So let's be in agreement that you're my sister. You're not my wife. If you're my sister, then they're not going to mess with me. But if they find out that you're my wife, then, you know, they might take you on to be with them, just knock me off. So just, let's agree. We're gonna lie and fabricate. And then we go into Genesis 13. It's the issue of Abram and Lot separating, that dilemma. And it was a dilemma. Then we go into Genesis 14, where Abram has to rescue Lot. And then we see God cutting a covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15, promising offspring and taking also possession of the land. And then we see that Abram doubted and asked God in verse 8. He said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? Now, again, when we think of Abraham, we think he's the father of faith. And we just think of the end product of who he was. And that's a good thing, because when you examine someone, you do look at the whole of their life, do you not? But it's good that we have these chapters leading up to the end of his life, because they show that he was still in formation. Are you still in formation? Am I still? Yeah, we're still in formation. But we want to grow in regards to our faith. So again, in verse 8, it says, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? Like, I know you're saying it, but again, his faith is, it's a little wobbly. Again, like that chick. Like, can I really put pressure on these dorky knees? Are they gonna, you know, are they gonna give way? And we start out like that. Okay, that's good, but would you give me another sign? You know, then God could do that. But would you give me maybe even another sign? You know, and so again, a bit little wobbly there. And then that goes on to Abram sleeping with Hagar, producing Ishmael in Genesis 16. God began to talk about his life, and he began to rush the process. Again, his faith is not fully developed yet. You see, he's taking things into his own hands here. And so this was also with the encouragement even of his wife. But here comes Ishmael in chapter 16. It goes from that to God telling Abraham in Genesis 17 that he and Sarai, or Sarah, would be given a son, and Sarah would be the mother of nations, and kings of people would come from her. Well, Abraham, mighty man of faith that he was, fell face down, laughed, and said, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah, then looks at her, will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? I mean, he kind of looked at her, yeah, right, look, you know. And again, he's a mighty man of faith, but these initial stages, it's wobbly, we see. Abraham said, oh God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then Abraham deals with his wife's laughter in Genesis 18, after the three visitors approach them. Also, Abraham pleads for Sodom in the same chapter. Again, in Genesis 20, Abraham lies about his wife's identity to Abimelech because he feared for his life, as there was no fear of God in that place. Then we find the birth of Isaac in Genesis 21. But also he runs into distress with Sarah and Hagar again, Sarah wanting to get rid of Hagar and her son. And in verse 11, it says the matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. So Abraham also ran into an issue of a well being seized and complained to Abimelech, and they had to work that out, ending up in the creation of a treaty. But then we get to chapter 22. So again, he's the man of faith, he's the father of faith, father of many nations, but we can see that there was a development, there was a progression. He didn't start out strong as an ox. He was trying to, you know, get his legs under him a little bit. He was wobbly, to say the least. But then we get to Genesis 22, and something seems to shift in Abraham. God gives Abraham a mandate, and he just does it without any lip. How many of y'all know what lip is? How many parents know what lip is? Without any lip, without any complaining, without any pushback, without any whining, he just does it. And he does it seamlessly. And amazingly, we look at chapter 22 and we marvel. How in the world could someone just offer up the sacrifice of the very promise, the firstborn? How did he get to that place of unwavering in that way? Matter of fact, go to Genesis 22. It's interesting here. Something has shifted in our man Abraham. There's a different demeanor about him. There's a different kind of confidence at work in him. There's a different composure and peace we find in him. Chapter 22. You're familiar with the story. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Then we cut into verse 3. Early the next morning, what did Abraham do? He got up, saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I go, and while I and the boy go over there, we will worship, and then we will come back to you." And you know the story. So this is a different Abraham. This is kind of a matter-of-fact Abraham. God says, "Abraham, now this was a tall order too. This isn't as, I mean, leave your family, leave your country. I mean, that's a tall order. But asking him to do this, you would think if he's ever just going to just come apart, come unglued, pull his hair out, you know, kick and scream, it would be. But God gives him the decree, and he just gets up, and he does it, gives instructions to the servants, and with an unusual composure, just does it. He just does it. So earlier, as we were reading Romans 4, we referenced weakened faith and strengthened faith. And we asked the question, what strengthens faith? What strengthened Abraham's faith by the time he got to Genesis 22? I think one answer, and we may not see this on the surface, but one answer is Abraham grew in faith due to trials. Somehow, having to believe God again and again, having to push through, having to exercise that muscle, after many chapters, he more and more learns the ways of God, and he begins to grow in confidence in God and begins to doubt his doubts more. Again, right out of the gate in Genesis 12, God called him out of his country. The first thing he did was confer with his wife. Lie. Say that you're my sister. I mean, he was already in a context of fear when he was among the Egyptians. Something has shifted. He grew in faith due to his trials. Who would think? Some might think, "I thought trials would be your undoing." Depends on where we're going. Remember originally, we see some pushback. We see some complaining. We see some whining. Can anyone identify with that? I know I can. Anyone here ever whine? You know, that's what Lamentations is all about. We call it complaintations. I mean, you see David pouring out his soul to the Lord, and that's a good place to pour out your soul. Not to your roommate, not to someone else, and, you know, pulling them down necessarily, but lifting our cry to God. But we know what that feels like, to whine, you know, why, you know, it's the human condition, is it not? How about a little sanctified pushback? Ever done that? You know, the word of the Lord comes, it's kind of like, "I don't want to." Yeah, but you ever read the word and it's clear? It's like I talked about last week, that girl we had in third grade. She was a little bit unusual, and she would just love to eat chalk. And the teacher would say, "Kathy George, get that chalk out of your mouth." I mean, she was locked in like, you know, like a dog in a bone. You're not going to let go. We can be that way. A little complaining, a little pushback, some whining. Yet with Isaac in chapter 22, he accepted God's decree and just went forward. the observation Abraham went through. So many trials that he eventually became very strong in faith. He went through so many trials that he eventually became very strong in faith. And again, you may think it would be the very opposite, but no. By the time Isaac came around, there had been a progression. He wasn't worn down, but built up. Again, in Romans 4, let's go back to that again. It says, against all hope, Romans 4:18, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Again, without what? Without weakening in his faith. Let's say that again. Without weak, that presupposes we can be weakened in regard to our faith. Again, it's like a muscle. It doesn't just stay the same. It can, you know, entropy can set in or we can build it up. Without weakening in it, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith. He wasn't weakened, but to the contrary, was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. You see, he had already seen this with the birth of their son Isaac, and even through he and Sarah originally laughing. See, he was at a point now in chapter 22 where he wasn't weakened because he had already seen God come through in chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 17, chapter 18, chapter 19, chapter 20, chapter 21. That's a lot of chapters. We see the pristine Abraham in Genesis 22. Go take forth thy son, lamb on the mountain, sacrifice him. Yes, my Lord, you know, without a hiccup. And it doesn't normally happen that way. I mean, that's an unusual request. But all those chapters, he was proving God time and time again. See, he could be strengthened because he began to dial back to a couple of chapters earlier. I remember when God said, you're going to have a son. I didn't believe it. Sent my wife out to Hagar. You know, that created a mess. Ishmael, what are we going to do there? But he saw God bring forth the promise. Even though she was barren, he was an older man. So he saw God perform it, and so he began to develop. He began to increase in regards to his confidence. Abraham grew in faith due to his trials. He had grown some. We too, like Abraham, will grow in faith due to our trials. So instead of condemning and damning the trial, could it be that there's a sanctified perspective of there's a building in me and a strengthening of something in me that wouldn't have come otherwise, and I'm not going to waste it because I don't want to circle the mountain. So I want to redeem it and get the full benefit of what God wants to do. So we too are strengthened due to trials. Matter of fact, in Romans 4, 22 through 24, it reads, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words it was credited to him were written not to him alone, but also for whom? But also for whom? But also for us. Can you say for us? For us who God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him. Who does what? Who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. It was credited to Abraham as righteousness when he believed. And also, for when we believe, it'll be credited. When we believe that God raises the dead, God will break it loose. God will break it free. How? I don't know, but he'll do it. How did you get saved? Explain. How does a virgin have a baby? Explain. How can there be one God in three expressions? The Trinity. Explain. How can we embrace the doctrine of resurrection? Explain. We'll leave that to him. We believe. And he measures out that credit of righteousness to us. But it is for us. It's for us. This is going to adjust how we think about trials. I mean, God forbid we get biblical in our response in life, huh? James 1, familiar passage. James 1, 1, James, servant of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes. Verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face what? Whenever you face what? You can just feel that. You can just feel the spirit of that word. From what? From this is where I mean, can God truly make all things work together for good? Can that truly? Can Romans 8 really be true? Is that real, or is that twinkle twinkle little star? Is that real? Is it weighty? Is it substantive? Can God turn our ashes into praise? Can he truly redeem the stuff? Well, here James says, pure joy. Consider it when you face trials of many kinds. Because you know, we don't always know, but here he says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he would receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. So again, James, consider it pure joy. Abraham had no ability to do that in Genesis 12. He had no ability to do that in Genesis 13, in Genesis 14, in Genesis 15, all the way up through Genesis 21. It was a progression of maturity. It was a progression of sanctification, so that when that biggie came, he had seen God, and somehow through the punches, it didn't wear him out. He didn't get weaker. He got stronger. Y'all realize that's counterintuitive. You would think through the punches, you'd get weaker. No, he got stronger. Therefore, James says, consider it pure joy. Pure joy. Why would pure joy and trials even be in the same sentence? Don't know. 1 Peter chapter 1, go over a couple of, a little bit to the right here. Verse 6, in this, Peter said, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of what?
Trials.
Yeah, all kinds of trials. These have come. Say, these have come. We're thinking they've come to kill us. Dear God, remove the trial. Dear God, what are you trying to do? Dear God, where are you? You ever prayed that one? Have you ever prayed, why? I've asked that before. Why? He says, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. It may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Our faith is of greater worth than gold. You ever been in a situation, it's murky, cloudy, maybe you were vexed, but you got around a person of faith and they said one word and it broke the atmosphere and lifted your spirits, and you felt strength due to being around them? Their faith, refined in fire, strengthened you. It was proven and then released a benefit in your own life. And here again, Peter says, greater worth than gold. God wants it proved genuine. Proved genuine. Proved. Nobody wants to prove themselves, but this faith, he's like, prove that faith. It's proved genuine when refined by fire. Abraham was refined by fire, but we see him in Genesis 22 proving genuine in that moment. This was such a big deal to God. Such a big deal to God. Such a big deal to God that God says, dear me. I mean, it was almost like God was like, you actually did. He actually did it. And he's like, look, boy, look right here. Because you did that, because you did not withhold your only son. I mean, it's like he's building up a head of steam here, you know. And it's like, wow, he actually progressed through all those other situations. But, whoa, the angels stopped. Look, because you did that. Now, God the whole time knew that he would. You know, God knew that he wouldn't break. God knew that he would make good on it. And God was absolutely amazed. Go to Genesis 22, 15. And God made the declaration, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely now bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Now, this Abraham of Genesis 22 is not the same Abraham in Genesis 12. Not the same man. Not the same man who's lying and ducking and dodging and conniving and trying to fulfill God's will through the arm of the flesh, you know, and mocking God and laughing and whining and pushing back and complaining. That's not, but now the trials have produced something of the value greater than gold in him. And now God's like, wow, wow. Now because you did that, I'm going to do this. No more pushing back, laughing, complaining, lying. It was credited to his account. Therefore, we don't waste our trial. Therefore, we don't waste a good wilderness. We allow the fruit of it to be credited to our account. Abraham grew in faith. We too will grow in faith. From lying, complaining, laughing, he had become so developed that Hebrews 11:19 says, Abraham even reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. He wasn't born a man of faith. He encountered trial after trial after trial, and there was a development of his faith. Instead of weakening in his faith, he was strengthened over time. Over time. Can you say time? And there's plenty of time, guys. Like Rice Brooks said, there's still time to become the person you almost became. There's still time. There's still time for the development of our story. You may be thinking, dear God, this season I'm in, the story is bad. The story is dark. No, it's just one chapter. The story is still being written. There's still time to absorb the negative chapters with glorious chapters. Hello? So don't die in the negative chapter thinking that's the whole. No, there is still time to build out the story that's being written. Still time. Verse 17 says, By faith Abraham offered Isaac. He became truly the father of faith. By faith, we too push through our trials. Take this home with you today. Whatever takes faith builds faith. Whatever requires faith of you today, whatever you're pushing on, it's like I've got this mountain right now. Dear, it's just not budging. Push. Tired of pushing. Whatever takes faith builds our faith. I mean, think of the logic of men going into a weight room and lifting heavy things. Why would someone take an hour, go into a room, may not even have air conditioning, and lift heavy stuff. Why in the world would someone do that? The heavy lifting is a means to an end, to grow back. You know, you tear down the muscle to grow it back bigger. You see, whatever takes our faith builds our faith. Just because you are not perceiving it does not mean you are not receiving it. Hello. Just because you're not perceiving it in the push doesn't mean you're not receiving it. I mean, you don't come back from the weight room and just look at that bicep and say, I don't know, if anything is kind of quivering a little bit. Kind of like Abraham in Genesis 12, those wobbly legs. If anything, We mentioned last week that if we sidestep the wilderness, we also sidestep the power of God. Our development comes through pushing through trial after trial. And see, that's why the wisdom of James says, consider it pure joy, is that it's producing something. If not, due to a life of ease, entropy would set in and we would lose what we have. That's why we read Amos 6:1 last week. Woe to those at ease in Zion. Ease is highly overrated. Woe to those at ease. We read the chapter out of Jeremiah about Moab had been at ease since his youth, like wine left on its dregs, never been poured from vessel to vessel. People don't like that shift and that change, but that's how you purify wine and then blow the dross off the top so that it can be served. And we say, God, use me, and he pours us from vessel to vessel, and it hurts so good, and he pours us from vessel to vessel, blows off the impurity, and then he serves us to our world. You see, ease is so overrated. And so you're pushing against something that's heavy. It's okay. You're getting buff. Though you feel quivery and though you feel, dear Lord, that's heavy, you're strengthening versus weakening. You're strengthening. Abraham did not weaken in regards to his faith, but was rather strengthened. How? Due to a lot of chapters. A lot of chapters. How many of y'all have already lived a lot of chapters? Isn't it funny how even when we're, you know, much younger, we feel like, I've lived a lot of life. Then another decade comes on, dear me, I really have lived a lot. You know, we always feel like the season we're in, lived a lot of life. God goes, no, you got many chapters to go. Really? He's going to help you. Don't faint. He'll help you. But he's building a story. He's building it out. Your story, his glory. But our development comes through these trials. We, like Abraham, grow in faith due to trials. Go figure. We, like Abraham, get buff, strong. It's the way it works. I was aware of someone several weeks ago that, you know, they've just been going through hell. Going through hell. Going through the trial of their life. And we were in the context of a few people talking, and this person just began to share off the cuff. And there was stature and wisdom, and there was authority coming off of them. And I looked at them, I said, there's a new stature on you. You may not be able to see it. I see it. He wasn't weakening in his faith. He was being strengthened in his faith. Whether he perceived it or not, I don't know, but he received it. I even fired him off a text. I said, there's a new authority on you, boy. There's a new authority on you. How did he get to that place of authority? Trials. With a smile. Pure joy. We, like Abraham, get buff and strong. It's just the way it works. Paul said, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all, that far outweighs, weighty. The Hebrew word for the glory of God is kabod, the weightiness of God, the glory of God. Trials produce a weightiness of God in our life and soul. It releases more of God in us and on us. How does that work? It's so foreign. It's so counterintuitive. I know. It's just how it happens. That's how Abraham became so stellar in chapter 22. Didn't start out that way. Wobbly, capital W. But it just produced the power of God on him more and more. More and more. Let's stand to our feet. The same process of Abraham is our process. Instead of weakening, we're strengthened. Instead of weakening, we're yet strengthened. In hope against all hope, Abraham believed. Again, didn't get there overnight. If he had to deal with the challenge of chapter 22 back in chapter 12, it would have crushed him. Would have crushed him. But there was a buildup. A buildup. A kind, progressive buildup. Inch by inch, everything's a cinch. Inch by inch, we take the land. God will not measure out more than we can handle. Inch. So whatever weight is on your life right now, that's all right. By faith, push it. It's okay. Push it. Say, man, I'm getting a burn. It's all right. We grow back bigger. Grow back bigger. It's for our development. The trial, the shaking, unto a purpose. Now, just in your heart of hearts, think of that weight in your life. Now, by faith, just tell yourself in God pure joy because of what's going to come out. Just tell yourself, according to James, pure joy because of what God's going to produce. Pure joy. My faith will be proven effective. A greater worth than gold. Pure joy. Now ask him, God, what are you producing in me through this? What are you producing? Even though you're not perceiving it, you're still receiving it. Don't miss the development. Just before we go, why don't you turn to your neighbor and just ask them, how can I pray for you, just based on their agreement to allow you some insight. How can I be praying just for your development? How can I add my faith to your faith? Whatever you're pushing on, so that you'll not weaken, but strengthen.